Good afternoon. I'm going to talk about LuaTeX from a user's perspective. Now, if we look at, look at LuaTeX's website to see what LuaTeX is, it says that it's an extended version of PDX Tech providing using Lua as an embedded scripting language. And the main objective is to provide an open and configurable variant of Tech, which is backward compatible with PDF Tech. And kind of the driving force behind LuaTeX has been high-quality Arabic typesetting. And a lot of the selling features, so to say, of LuaTeX have been that we can use TrueType and OpenType fonts. Tech is no longer restricted to an 8-bit input. And from a user's point of view, which basically means that writing some input becomes easier. You don't have to worry about whether your input parameter is UTF symbol or an ordinary ASCII symbol. For example, if we take typing in Unicode math, with LuaTeX, we can write something like X underscore alpha, while Unicode input is still possible in PDF Tech, but because of the way macro processing is done, this thing has to be within parentheses. And this is kind of not a big issue, but it becomes difficult as the macros become more and more complicated. And the other thing is that one can do fancy things at the macro level, and context is being completely rewritten using LuaTeX. But what I want to talk about here is, what difference does that make? To someone like me, who basically normally just typesets English with some math, I don't really care about this. And what I want to say is, why should I care about LuaTeX? And so if you are someone who believes that you have an answer to this question, then this talk is not meant for you. This is for people who are still wondering whether they should pay attention to LuaTeX or not. And what I'm going to focus on is that it makes tech programming easier. And I'm going to give a couple of examples here, and just to make sure everyone understands, in this talk, focus on how do you use Lua inside context. In the next talk, Arthur is going to talk about using LuaTeX in LaTeX, and that's, from a user's point of view, it's just a minor syntax change of how you call Lua and how you call tech from Lua. So in context, in order to call Lua from tech, there are two kinds of macros. The first is, you can say CTX Lua, which I kind of read as context Lua. So LuaTeX has different, you can have different processes associated with Lua, and this is just the context process. And you can also call this as start Lua code and stop Lua code, and this is for things which are more than a single line statement. Basically, if you're writing a lot of Lua code, you can do this. There are also ways you could write Lua code in a separate file and call that, but I'm not going to go into the details here. And the other thing that you need to do is, you can do a bunch of things in Lua, and at some stage you need to pass something back to tech. And in order to do this, LuaTeX provides a function called tech.print, which prints something to tech as if you had typed that thing in. And context provides some syntax sugar over it. You can have a function context and pass a string to it, and that would be same as if you had written that string inside a context document. And there is also, you can have context dot command sequence name, and it is similar to as if you had called that command sequence with those particular parameters. And this interface is still experimental, and it might change in the future, but I still use that in the talk. So the good thing with LuaTeX is that simple things are simple. And these are a couple of examples from the context mailing list from, I think, 2005 or 2006, when LuaTeX was just emerging. And so suppose you want to, this was by a user who wanted to have questions for high school class, I think, and it was encode your name as either a null terminated, dollar terminated, or a Pascal string. And wanted one of these options to be printed at random for different versions of the paper. And this can be done inside tech. There are packages which provide you random number generation, and you can do branching statements to pick the right thing, but it's not so straightforward. In Lua, this is as simple as saying, these are the options that I want, and pick a random number between 1 and 3 and choose the corresponding option. So this is something that one can write and read easily. And somehow the important point is being able to read tech code, because there are a lot of people who write tech code which ordinary people just can't read and understand. At least I can't. Another example, so converting from integers to decimal. And so this is again by the same user to say do AND OR and XOR of two binary numbers, and to make it so that some people don't get trivial things, it's just pick a random number between 10 and 255 and do XOR or AND between them. Now, in tech, you can do this part, but converting from decimal to binary is not easy. In any sensible programming language, this is just a matter of finding the right parameter to printf, or even if that does not exist, you can just write a function which converts it. So in Lua tech, you could do something just like this. And you have, so context takes the same parameter as essentially printf does for C, and I don't know whether there is some difference between print statement in Lua and printf in C, but the idea is the same and the same kind of flags work. So percentage x means encode it as a hex number, and it's again something which is easy to write and easy to read. So the important thing is you can do parsing inside tech without what I'm calling exploding your brain. And to give an idea of why common people don't want to do parsing in tech. So this was a question on the context mailing list to have a macro called molecule, which typesets the chemical symbols correctly. And I'm not going to go into the detail what correct typesetting for chemical symbols is. But basically, you enter something as if you would do in normal math, and it should be formatted according to the correct rules. And this was a solution provided by Taco. And I'll just pause a minute so that everyone has a chance to read this. And I wonder how many people can understand this. And there are tricks like you set cat code of underscore to be active, you set it upper code corrector to be something else, and then you do uppercase let something is equal to a macro. And one often starts wondering why something like this is needed. And people who understand the ins and out of tech, maybe they can write this instantaneously. But for someone like me, it takes me an hour to just understand what this thing is doing. And this is not something which is like, here's a similar problem solved in LaTeX, and this is a LaTeX package which does this. And it follows a slightly different approach. It actually builds a finite state automata which is doing parsing. And it goes like basically trying to split the input into different words which are separated by spacing. And one has to go through these tricks like define a macro which has a space in between so that you can figure out whether the space is there or not. And while calling this, give a null string as delimiter and check whether this thing was empty or not. And depending on what this thing was, recall this macro again and again to get different words. And then this package goes on to define same thing. Once you have gotten one word, call another thing, and some 10 or 12 of those. And then there is processing done from it. And the logical algorithm behind how you do this is relatively straightforward, but this is something which is 2,000 lines of LaTeX code. And with LuaTeX, it provides an inbuilt parser called LPEG, and I don't like this parser too much, but the good thing is it's a high-level parser, so you can reasonably expect to sit down, read the documentation, and be able to work with it without really having to do everything in your head first. And this is the same example for that molecule macro as it would be written in LPEG. So you define what you mean by lowercase words, uppercase words, what's the right brace, left brace, what are no brace, and you can write expressions like this, which is no brace is something which is not a left brace or a right brace. And this is, most parsers allow you to do write these type of combinators, which writing them in tech is not so easy. And then you can have things like, what do you mean by a nested expression in terms of different previous combinators? And then have things like, if the input is high-low, which means it's a subscript followed by some content, followed by a superscript with subcontent, then you want to convert it into a macro with something like this. Now, the syntax may be slightly weird, but this is LPEG syntax, and thing is, this is, once you understand LPEG, this is something which can be easily written, and you can read it easily and understand what the author is trying to do, and if you see something, you want to change something in the algorithm, you can change that easily. So, so this is a thing where everything is written in a Lua file, and we have a function which basically just parses the string and returns everything back to tech, and then we can have a tech macro which calls this function. And here these slash BS and ES are just begin string and end string macros, so that quoting of string is not confused by what is the content of the macro. So another example of parsing is sometimes in a math, you want to be able to format, you want to be able to figure out what are the superscripts and subscripts to a command. And the trouble is, it could be given in different order, so the command may not have any superscript or subscript, or it may have only one of them, or they may be in different orders. There may be limit or no limit in front of that. And as an example, MathTools does this for a macro called slash operator. And this is how the parsing is done. This is written in LaTeX 3 syntax, so ignore everything which comes after the semicolon. You can still, yeah.
As the fool who wrote this code many years ago, I can say that this is not the current.
Oh, okay.
But yes, you are still.
Yeah, I mean.
Correct. It's confusing enough. It's confusing nonetheless.
Yeah. So I mean, once you get used to it, probably LaTeX 3 syntax makes a bit of sense. But I don't want to go into that right now. But other than the syntax, I mean, so there is something like this. So you define a macro, and then you take some tokens into it, and you do things like this, which, again, if you're someone who writes tech code day in and day out, probably this is just second nature to you, but this is, again, something which is hard to understand from a user's point of view. And then there are things like take all the seven arguments, define macros for each one of them, and then do a bunch of comparisons to figure out which branch you are actually in and what you should do. There are some Booleans which are being set here, and then there is rest of the code which processes depending on which state you are in some sense. And again, this is something which takes a lot of time to understand what really is happening here, while this is something fairly simple from a user's point of view. I just want to know what is the content of the subscript and superscript. And contrast this with how one would do it in LuaTeX, that you could have a high-level parser which just tells you what the subscript and superscript is, and then you can figure out what you want to do with your contents in depending on what you want to do with here. So as another example, context provides something which is called calculator math, and this is for school children. And basically, you can input math expressions as you would do in a T1 scientific calculator. And the current implementation in context actually uses regular expressions to parse them and convert it into tech. But this can also be written in LPEG. And for example, you can write something like this, and it's parsed automatically and converted to the correct tech code and typeset like this. So the other advantage of LuaTeX is that you can do arithmetic without using an abacus. And doing arithmetic in tech is difficult. And I'm going to give an example which is from the PGF math library. And in the PGF tutorial in the morning, we saw that PGF can do a bunch of math. But it's really difficult the way it is done internally. And this is a divide function which is greater than 100 lines of code. And that should not how you, I mean, if you want to divide two numbers, you should not be, you shouldn't be writing 100 lines of code to divide two numbers. Just to understand why it is like this, tech can do division only of dimensions. So this thing first converts everything to dimensions. Then it has finite precision. So basically first figures out if what we are dividing with is an integer or not. If it is an integer, there is a simple way. If it is not an integer, figure out the sign, do some calculation and see if there is going to be an overflow or not. If there is no overflow, do something more, and I mean something like this, repeat 4 or 5 times, and then you figure out if the precision is too less. If the precision is too less, it was better to have taken reciprocals and done the thing and taken reciprocal again, and then you get the answer. To me, this seems just wrong. Another example, doing trigonometry, and again, this is a complicated approach. It's just saying, okay, if we want sine of something, we can do a linear interpolation between two integer values, and then there is about 50 lines of code to figure out how to do linear interpolation, and then there is a lot of code which just hard codes what's the value of cos of 0, cos of 1, to all possible values that you can imagine. And then the previous thing was doing linear interpolation, and you do the same thing for other trigonometric functions. I imagine this was how things were done probably when people were programming an 8086 or something, but today you don't expect to be writing this code if you want to do a trigonometric thing. And with LuaTeX, one does not really need to worry about this. So this is how I would write these divide and sine function in LuaTeX. Divide the two numbers, pass it on to context, and that's essentially it is, and the division is done at Lua, and it's as precise or imprecise as floating point calculation is in any programming language. And similarly for taking sines, you can just do math.sine. LuaTeX works with radians rather than degrees, so you can do a simple multiplication and do conversion. And so this is something which, if you see this macro, you can understand what this is doing, and you can also imagine that you can write that. I don't think many people in this room can imagine writing this division macro. So the third advantage of LuaTeX to me is that I can write loops without worrying about expansion. And anyone who has tried to write a loop in tech, slightly non-trivial loop in tech, would at some stage have stuck at this expansion thing, which is not so easy to understand from a user's point of view. So again, this is a question which was on the context mailing list, that someone wanted to typeset a table, which is what happens if you multiply two integers. And this is a simple mathematic operation. And one would imagine that instead of having to write it as set up a table and just input everything by hand, you could program it. Now, if you have to do this at home, I would encourage you to write it by hand rather than trying to program it. It's faster to write it by hand than trying to get the tech to give you the right output. And I mean, this may seem surprising because if you look at the logic, it's something straightforward. All we want to do is go through two simple for loops and give the result of a simple calculation. And in any programming language, one would write it something like this. Now, context provides a looping macro, which is called doRecurse, and you can essentially translate that loop into something like this. And what happens if you type this is that you get a table which is all zeros. And the reason is because this the table environment which is being used first stores all its values, figures out what the width of everything is, and then typesets it. So when it is storing, it stores the actual macro rather than the value of the macro. So when it is typesetting, the macro has been lost because this was the loop counter. And when you need to typeset it, you get all zeros. So you can correct it. You need to care about expansion, and it's simple. You just need to put expand after at the right place. Figuring out the right place is not so easy, but I mean, this requires just three expand afters at the right place, but it took me half an hour to figure out where these should go. And again, people who write tech code day in and day out, this is simple to them, but for ordinary users, this is something which is difficult. Now, with LuaTeX, this is one could take that pseudo code that I presented earlier and literally translate it into Lua, and we can have something like this. So context.begin table, begin table row, begin table data. This is what I want in the first cell. For the next six cells, put the value of y, end row, loop over x, begin table row, put x, loop over y, put x plus y, end. Again, this is something which is easy to write and easy to read. Now, another thing is with LuaTeX, we get MetaPost as a library. And this makes certain things which were difficult in MetaPost slightly easier. And as an example, suppose I want a grid of 5x5 points with the label typeset below them. Now, the trouble with MetaPost is that it does not, to typeset something, you need to call tech. Now, if I'm drawing these points, I would like to have a loop which goes over these points, but then I need to be able to tell tech what was the value of this thing. So one cannot just use BTEC and ETEC kind of syntax for MetaPost labels, because then you cannot know the value of the variable. So you need to do workarounds. In context provides a macro called textTech, which takes its string and then calls context to typeset that string. Plain MetaPost has a library called tech.mp, which can do the same thing. And again, this is something which is very complicated, because you need multiple amount of tech runs for each one of these labels. And if you have multiple figures, tech needs to be called again and again. While with LuaTeX, we could write it in something like this. And this is like, imagine you want to write a program which generates the correct MetaPost code, and just write that program, and that is the exact thing which would be passed to MetaPost. And since the at the generation time you know what the loop variables are, you can write it btech x, comma y, etech, and when MetaPost sees it, it just sees this string, and it calls tech once. So I'll conclude here with a quote which was by Reinhard Kortucha in TechSec, and he was quoting Klaus Legele. You can do everything in tech. After all, tech is a Turing machine, and programming in tech is as convenient as programming in a Turing machine. And LuaTeX is changing this. So thank you.
Questions? I don't know anything about the LuaTeX mailing list, but is it very active?
The LuaTeX mailing list is not so active, but a lot of discussions go on the context mailing list because a lot of context code is being rewritten as LuaTeX evolves. So most people who are using LuaTeX are using it with context. There are other people also, but a lot of LuaTeX discussion goes on the context mailing list.
If we have something that was done in context a year ago, is it just going to run in LuaTeX in the context?
For the most part, yes. So the user interface of context has not changed. Anything which worked earlier is going to work, except for fonts if you want to use OpenType or TrueType fonts. If you are happy with traditional tech fonts, then you don't need to change anything.